Today's daf is Daf Kaf Zayim. We're going to start three lines from the bottom with the story of Rabban Gamliel and some rabbis who were in a boat. If you recall, what we're going to discuss today is more about the Kinyan Agav until we get to the end of the daf. If you remember what a Kinyan Agav is, somebody acquires land and possessions at the same time, and he acquires the possessions through, we talked about how possessions, how movable items and land have different criteria by which they can be acquired, and land can be bought by Kesef Shtar, or I was about to say by Bia, Kesef Shtar or Chazaka. The truth is, Chazaka is similar to Bia, really. It's almost like a, right, it's the same type of thing of actually having, you know, saying
face-to-face contact.
Right, contact
use
with
it.
Right, use of it, right, okay. So Kesef Shtar or Chazaka, in which case, if you acquire the land through Kesef Shtar or Chazaka, you can acquire the movable property, even though generally you need to actually do Mashiach. Okay? Again, we talked about Chalipin could work for both also, and there was a bit of a question about all these sugyas when they talk about there's no other way to do it, why couldn't they do it with Chalipin, right? We saw that. Okay, now we're going to see, what we're trying to prove is, our question was, we're going to have a whole slew of questions, okay, we're in the middle of a question now, we're going to finally come to an answer about, eventually we're going to come to an answer about a Kinyan Agav, whether the movable items have to be on the land itself, or you can talk about land and movable possessions that are not anywhere near each other, or certainly not one on top of the other, you know, that the movable property is on top of the land, and that will work anyway, okay? And that's the question, svurin olo, do they have to be collected and on top of the land or not? Or can they be separate from the land when you do this kinyan? So now we're going to see a story about Rabban Gamliel. It was kinim, shayu ba'im b'sfina. They were in a boat. Amar lahem Rabban Gamliel is kinim. All of a sudden, Rabban Gamliel realizes that he didn't take masrot on his property at home. Now, what's interesting is he doesn't talk about truma. So it must be he somehow did truma, and some people say that the truma was done at an earlier stage, like at the Gemara Malacha stage, and that the masr sometimes happened at a later stage once it goes into the house. So it could be he took the truma already, but now he realizes he didn't take masr on the stuff. Now, there's two masrs we're going to talk about here. Masr Rishon, which goes to the Levi, and then in the years 3 and 6 of the Shemitah cycle, instead of doing Maser Sheni, which we talked about the other day, that you would bring those foods to Yerushalayim, you would give it to the poor people. So it obviously was in a year where you needed to bring Maser Ani. And now what's going to happen? He's far away from his property, but he wants to basically give his Trumot and Masra. Well, not his Trumot, his Masra. So Amar Lahem Rabban Gamliel is Kini. Isur Sheani Atid Limor Natuno Liyoshua. He says to Yoshua, who's there, who was a Levi, he says to him, I'm going to give you, right, in the future, I'm going to measure, when I get back, I'll measure out the maaser, and that maaser that I will measure out for you, this is like Brera, right, where retroactively,
exactly,
it's like Brera, where he's saying, this the whatever I later designate to be yours will be yours, and mikomo muskarlo, and I'm going to rent to you right now, and you give, okay, it doesn't say this, but give me a pruta, basically, and for that pruta, I will rent you the land that the fruits are on, or the whatever it was on, the produce is on, and then that will be yours, okay? V'isur acher, and another tent, shani atid limod, that eventually I will, right, when I get back, I will measure, nachun lo la'akiva ben Yosef, this is Rabbi Akiva that we know, okay, will be given to Rabbi Akiva. Why? Not because he himself was poor, but Kadeshi is a kebo la'aniim. Okay, the assumption here is that he was the gabay tzedaka, basically. Okay, he had Naomi's job. He would collect the tzedaka for people, and he would be mezakeh the aniim. So basically, he's saying, I'm going to give you the rights to my maaser ani to distribute it. And not only am I going to give you that, but I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to rent you again. Give me a pruta. I'll rent you the land. And in that way, he was able to effect a kinyan on the metaltalin also. Shma mina b'inan svurim. So now what do you see? What did he rent to them? The land that it was on, right? He could have just rented them any property. He didn't necessarily have to rent the property that the produce was on. He could have said, I'm renting you a little corner of my land. And they would have given him a pruta. He would have, you know, they would have basically acquired the land. Through the acquiring of the land, they would acquire the metaltelin. That would work. So what do you see here? It must be you need tefillin, and otherwise he wouldn't have needed to rent them that particular space that the produce was on. So now they say, no, you can't prove this because shanei hatam ki hecha delo litrichinu. Why did he want to rent them the space where the produce was? Because he didn't want to make them feel pressured that as soon as they got back from their trip, they'd need to quickly get rid of all the produce because it was sitting now on someone else's property. So what did he say? I'll rent you. Notice he didn't say how long I'll rent it to you. I'll rent you long term the property that's on. And that way, you can leave it there for a while, you know, especially, let's say, for Akiva, who has to distribute it to people till he distributes it or, you know, whatever it is. He didn't want to make them feel pressured. So it could be that that's why he rented them that particular space of land so that they wouldn't have to immediately get it off the property. Okay, again, we had a proof that we can't necessarily conclude from here anything, but finally we are going to have a proof where we can conclude. Tashma, de amar rav bar Yitzchak amar rav, shnei shtarotein. Okay, this is a bit of a long source. We have to first read through it, then we'll see how it connects. There's two different types of shtarot he's going to discuss here. Okay, this is a case where you said to someone, okay, we'll read it, zichu b'sadeh zo l'ploni v'kitvu lo et hashtar. If you say this to two people, two Adim, go acquire this field for so-and-so, meaning go make a chazaka on the land, right? Go sit in the land, do something to the land to acquire it for the other person, which we know, zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav, right? They can go into the land, do a chazaka, and acquire it for the other person. V'kitvu lo et hashtar, and write a shtar for him. Okay, now, what happens if what do we say here? Chozer b'shtar ve'eno chozer b'sadeh. In this case, okay, this is case number one. If they went and did a chazaka on the land is automatically, even without the writing of the shtar, the land goes to the guy because zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav. But if he decides he wants to be, so he can't be chozer on the kinyan, the chazaka. He can't say, oh, sorry, I changed my mind. Once they went, there's a chazaka, and it belongs to the other guy. But if he changes his mind before they wrote the shtar, and he says, listen, I changed my mind, I don't want you to write the shtar, then he can be chozer on the shtar. Now, what does that mean? Well, so what? They have the land, right? The land belongs to the third guy now. But what's the issue? The Mefreshim say it could be he doesn't want a shtar. Why? What will a shtar do? Because remember, you can acquire it through chazaka, so you don't need a shtar. But what will the shtar do that he doesn't want? He doesn't, when you write a shtar, it becomes public. It's like a taboo, right? We talked about the other day. Everybody knows now that you own that land. Now, what's the downside for him? He doesn't want people to know that he sold the land. Because if people know he sold the land, what are they going to think? They're going to think this guy obviously needs the money. In which case, if he goes for a loan, he's not going to have a great credit rating, right? People are going to say, oh, this guy obviously needs the money and he doesn't have a lot of money and therefore I'm not going to lend him money because he probably won't pay it back. So therefore, he doesn't want people to know, so he's allowed to be chozer bo on the shtar. If he said to them, write a shtar, and he changes his mind before they wrote the shtar, that he can change his mind about. But if they already did the chazaka, he can't change his mind about the chazaka. Next case. If he says, zichu b'sadezo, okay, it doesn't say those words, but it means, right? It's like the same type case. It starts the same. Zichu b'sadezo l'ploni. Go acquire this, right? Go do a chazaka in this field for so-and-so. Al menat shetichtavu lo et hashtar, under the condition that you write a shtar. Now, what if he's chozer bo? Even after they went into the land and did a chazaka, right? Since he said al menat, if they haven't yet written the shtar, right? Again, the same thing happened. They went into the field and started working the land, let's say. And then they didn't write the shtar yet. And he says, listen, I changed my mind. I don't want to write the shtar. So now he says, chozer bo bein b'sadeh, bein b'shtar, bein b'sadeh. He can be chozer bo on both the chazaka and the shtar. Okay? Because he depended it on the shtar, until the shtar is written, the chazaka is not relevant yet. Okay? The chazaka doesn't take place. Now we're going to get to the third case. Okay? So this was two cases. That's what Rav Bar Yitzchak says in the name of Rav. There's two types of shtarot. Again, one, you can be chozer only b'shtar, and the other, you can be chozer bein b'shtar, bein b'sadeh. Now comes Rav Chiya bar Avin, and he's going to say Amar Rav Huna, in the name of Rav Huna, Shlosha shtarot hein, you missed one, okay? There's a third case that you didn't mention. Tre hadamaran, two, like you said. Idaf, but the third one is, im kidei mocher, bekatav lo et hashtar, ko tasha shaninu, kotvim shtar le mocher, af al pi she'en lo keachimo, kevan shechzikimo bekarka, nikne shtar, b'chom makom shehu. Okay, let's say he says, if the seller goes and writes the shtar, okay, like it says, kotvim shtar le mocher, af al pi she'en lo keachimo. This means that you can write a shtar to say, I'm selling the land to so-and-so, even though the guy isn't there. Okay, and meaning, like, what if maybe he doesn't want to buy it, right? But he can write out the shtar saying that so-and-so wants to buy the shtar, even if the lokeach isn't there. Now, what's the assumption here? That it's only good for the lokeach. There's nothing bad about it for the lokeach. The bad about it is for his sake, right? That this land will no longer be his. So the only negative in it is for the mocher side. So if the mocher is willing to write it, even without the agreement of the lokeach yet,
it's like okay. Giving a gift, being a shlich for accepting a gift. We talked about
it. Right, exactly. It's the whole idea of zachin. In other words, it's a positive thing for him. It's only good for him. So there's no downside. Now, again, obviously, it's only going to be a good sale when the lokeach acquires the shtar. But now we're going to say he can write a shtar even though the lokeach isn't there. And kevan shechzik imo bekarka nikne shtar b'chol makom. Remember what happens with a shtar? You have to pass it into the other person's possession. Now, let's say he didn't pass it into his possession, but what happened? The lokeach came and acquired the land. He did a chazaka on the land. Once he does a chazaka on the land, even if the mocher didn't hand him the shtar is automatically acquired. With the chazaka, the shtar is acquired. So you understand, if the shtar was written first, and then the guy goes into the property, and he does a kinyan chazaka on the property, the shtar is acquired by the buyer by virtue of the fact that he went and did a kinyan chazaka. What does that sound like? This sounds like our case of that the shtar is looked upon as metaltalin, basically, and it's acquired as soon as you do the kinyan chazaka, the shtar is acquired. Now, what would this then prove for our case?
But does the shtar need to be on the property?
Yafe. So this exactly answers our question. Here it says, he acquires the shtar b'kol makom shehu, wherever the shtar is, even if it's not on the land. So this proves, against all the other sources we kept trying to prove, right? Every source they brought, they tried to prove. It needs to be tzvurin, it needs to be sitting on the property. Now we have a source that seems to indicate it doesn't need to be sitting on the property because when he does this kinyan chazaka, the shtar is acquired along with it. Now, the Gemara is going to ask a question here, which I don't know if you thought of, but I thought about this when I was learning it. It says, right, so Shema mina lo b'inan tzvurin. So the first thing they say is, conclude from here, you don't need to be tzvurin ba. So now they say no, but shane shtar da'apsira da'arahu. A shtar is not metaltalim. What's a shtar? A shtar is coming as a proof for the fact that the land was bought. It's not viewed as like a separate item. It's part and parcel of the land because it's the proof that the land belongs to you. So when you do this kinyan chazaka, the shtar is acquired because the shtar is basically part of it. What's the wording here? The wording is, it's like an afsira da'arahu. Afsira are the reins of an animal. So the reins of an animal are part of the animal, basically, right? It's like, it gives it this, you know, it gives you the cough to do something with the animal, to control the animal. So therefore, it's the same thing here. The shtar gives you kaf to prove that it's yours. So it's not the same as saying, I'm going to acquire your, your produce, you know, when the land is, you know, the produce is here, the land is there. That's different.
Okay? And the shtar does not have value in itself.
Right. So that's also true. The shtar also, we talked about it, that, right, even if the shtar isn't even shavapruta, right, the shtar has no value in and of itself. So at this point, we think that it's not going to work. However, the Gemara says, despite what you might say, v'ha ala katane, there's a braita that relates to this halacha that we just read, and it says, zoi sheshaninu, this is what we learned, the nechasim she'en lehem achriyut, niknimim nechasim she'yesh lehem achriyut, bekesev u'b'shtar u'b'chazaka. They say explicitly that this case of the chazaka and the shtar is a case of nechasim she'en lehem achriyut, niknimim nechasim she'yesh lehem achriyut. And therefore, even though logic might say that this is a little different, the halacha, the braita, certainly views it as if it's the same. And therefore, being that the braita does that, we can then say, Shma mina lo b'inan sfurim ba, Shma mina. Therefore, we can conclude that when you do this kinyan agav, the metaltalin do not need to be on the land. They could be somewhere totally different. Okay? And we learn it all from this chazaka and shtar case. Just to review those three cases, again, it's a very similar. One is you can be chozer b'shtar, not the chazaka. The other is you can't be chozer either. And the last one is you can be chozer both. Okay? Okay, so now, right, 1 second, right? You could be chozer both in that last case, right? Im kidema mocher v'katav lo shtar. Oh, no, right, that's, oh, no, actually, it's not you could be chozer both. No, no, I was wrong. I thought somehow that was the case. No, 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 it's not. It's just saying there's another din b'shtar that once you're machzik b'kark, the chazaka, you're going to nikne the shtar, right? It's not like that. Okay, Ibailu. Now we're going to have a few more questions about this kinyan agav. They're going to be much more simple and straightforward and easier answers. Ibailu, mi be'inan agav olo. Do you have to say that you're acquiring them with the kinyan agav, or do you not need to say it? Now there's a big machloket about how to understand this. If you remember, the pasuk that said that we learned kinyan agav with was Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat gave his kids matanot im arei mitzurot or something. Im arei, what was it? Im arei mitzurot b'Yehuda. Okay, it didn't say agav, right? So some people say that when it says do you need to say agav or not, the question is do you need to say I'm acquiring this with this. You just need the word im, with. Some people say, no, no, no. You need to say, I'm doing it with a kinyan agav. You need to actually say the words kinyan agav. And that's the question. Do you need to say, and the question is, do you need to say anything at all? We'll see in a minute that you actually do. And then when we say you do, the question is, what does it mean according to the Gemara that you need to say agav? Does it need, do you mean need to say im, I'm acquiring this with this, okay, which would match the pasuk in Yehoshaphat? Or do we say, no, we don't learn it from a pasuk, right? We learn it from halacha. And halacha would say, you actually have to say the words that you're using a kinyan agav. So, ibailu, mi be'inan agav olo. Tashma, let's learn from here. Dekatane kolhane, sorry, dekatane kolhane. It says all these, meaning, we just saw brightot about lots of cases, right? We were trying to prove tzvurin or not, and they were all cases of kinyan agav. And did you notice that in all the cases, right? The lo katane agav. It never said that he said, I'm acquiring this through a kinyan agav. So they say, no.
Never said they didn't either.
Ah, yafe. So then the Gemara says, well, v'litamech, according to what you're saying, knemi katane? Did he ever say, I'm acquiring these metaltalim with this? Right? He never said that. And obviously, if you don't say anything, we're not going to assume just random metaltalim are acquired to you. So therefore, ela ad amar knei, it must be you said, I'm acquiring these. Hachanami ad amar agav. In other words, it didn't state the obvious, but it was obvious that you need to state that. Now they're going to give us a hilchata. The hilchata, okay, the halacha is, tzvurin lo b'inan, agav v'knei b'inan. Okay, you don't need to say tzvurin, but you do need to say agav and knei. Okay? Ibailahu, another question. Sadeh b'mecher u'metaltalim b'matana mahu. Let's say you're acquiring, right, until now we've been talking about, you're selling land and you're selling metaltalim. So you're going to, the buyer is going to acquire the metaltalim with the land. But now they're going to say, what if the sadeh was with a sale and the metaltalim was through a matana? Would you be able to acquire the gift at the same time that you're purchasing land? Mahu. So they say, oh, what do you mean? We saw this case already. Tashma, isur shani atid limod natun li Yoshua umikomo muskarlo. And what's the maser? The maser is a gift. So you see that it can be done. Shma mina. Ibailu, another question. Sadeh le'echad umetaltalin la'acher mahu. What if you are selling a field to one person and metaltalin to another person? Can you actually do that through this kinyan agav? So Tashma, also we saw a case like that. What case did we see? Isur shani atid limod, natun li Akiva ben Yosef, kadesh yizakeh bo la'aniim. What did we see? He said, right, the stuff I'm going to eventually give to Akiva, right, who he's going to give to the aniim, right, so that he can be zocha for the aniim. And mekomo muskarlo, meaning he rented the land to Akiva, but the gift didn't belong to Akiva. The gift was acquired by the aniim. So now they say, no, you can read this in two ways. Either you read, my muskar, muskar la maser. In other words, maybe he was saying, not muskar lo to Akiva, but I'm saying, the land is going to belong to whoever, whatever poor people acquire the produce, they'll also acquire the land. Or you could say the flip. That he was acquiring all of it on behalf of the aniim. He was basically, right, we saw about the yad and the get, and it's an extension of her body, right? He's the extension of the aniim, basically. And he was acquiring both the land and the gift for the aniim, and therefore it doesn't indicate that it was a gift for, you know, the produce went to one person and the land went to somebody else. You could view it all as the same. Either it was all given to the aniim, and Akiva was just, you know, he was giving it to Akiva on behalf of the Aniim, or he gave it all to Akiva, but it was that Akiva himself was an extension of the Aniim. So therefore, we don't have a proof that this could be done, and I assume the answer is that it can't be done, right? It doesn't seem to make so much sense. The whole idea is you're acquiring both. It would seem to be, it would have to be the same person. Okay, now we're going to have a narrowing of this halacha of a kinyan agav. Amarava, lo shanu ela shenatan demei kulan. This only works if you actually give all the money up front. Okay? But if you don't give the money and you do this kinyan, let's say you give part of the money. So you give money for the land and not for the metaltalin. So then you're not acquiring the metaltalin through the land. Or if you give money for part of the metaltalin, not all of them. So you only acquire the amount that you gave. Okay, stuff that adds up to, if you haven't given the money, then it's no good, basically. Tanya Kavate de Rava, here's a source, a braita that proves Rava. Now, again, we're going to have a long source till we get to the proof at the end. Yafe kocha kesef mikocha shtar. Now they're going to compare the three kinyanim, kesef, shtar, and chazaka. So kesef has an advantage over shtar. Vikocha shtar mikocha kesef, and shtar has an advantage over kesef. Yafe kocha kesef, eventually we're going to get to chazaka, but right now we're starting with kesef and shtar. Yafe kocha kesef, sha kesef podim bo hekdeshod umaser sheni, ma she'en kein b'shtar. There's no way to do pidyon, hekdesh, umaser sheni with a shtar. Meaning the kesef has a certain value of a shtar because it can be used when you say, I'm giving this to the Beit HaMikdash, and then you don't want to actually give that item itself, but you want to give the value of that item. So what do? You put the value onto a coin, right? And then you have to add a certain amount, the chomesh, and then you bring that to the Beit HaMikdash. So, and same thing with Maser Sheni. So you can only do that on a coin, right? Because it says so in the Pasuk. But you can't do that with a shtar. Yafeh koch hashtar. Now, what about a shtar? What can you do with a shtar that you can't do with kesef? Shashtar motzi bebat Yisrael, mashen kein bekesef. Right? A get can only be done with a shtar. You can't do it with money. And both of them have a certain strength over koch hazaka. And again, v'koch hazaka mikoch shnehem. Chazaka is going to have a strength that the other two don't have. Yafe koch shnehem sheshneim konim be'evet ivri. Ma she'en ken b'chazaka. Okay, so what did we say? Right, you can't do chazaka when it comes to evet ivri. You can't have him start working for you and say, oh, look, he's working for me, he must be my evet.
You tried to do that.
You can do that with an evet knani. You can't do it with an evet ivri. Okay? But you can't do it, right? But a kesef and shtar would work to be konen eved ivri. And yafeh koch chazaka, shechazaka machar lo eser sadot be'eser medinot. If you sold 10 fields in 10 different states, kevan shechzik be'echam mehem kna'am kulam. Okay, that would work. Once you do a chazaka in one of them, then all of them would become yours automatically without you having to do a chazak in all of them. Yeah, it's a bit of a strange halacha. We're going to talk about it a little bit more. But when would this work? Only shenatan lo dmei kulan. It's only if he paid for all 10 plots of land. Aval lo natan dmei kulan, lo kana ela kineged ma'otav. Okay, but if he didn't give the land for all of them, then it wouldn't be, right? Then he would only get what he paid for. So here you see this concept of that if you do a kinyan chazaka, you're only going to acquire what you actually paid for. Okay? And therefore, they're going to say that the same thing would apply if you're buying the land with a metaltalin. Okay? Since you're doing this through a kinyan chazaka, it only works if you paid, you know, what you paid for.
But isn't chazaka without payment?
No, chazaka is, right. So then, yeah. Right, so then the Mefarshim talk about this, and they say that you would have to say that it was a place where you also needed a shtar. In other words, the point is you paid, but you didn't affect the kinyan by paying. Because, if you remember, what did we see? That if you paid, but it's a place where they also write a shtar, then a kinyan isn't effective until you actually write the shtar. So therefore, what you would have to say is, it's a case where he paid with kesef, but the kinyan wasn't affected by kesef because he needed to also write a shtar, and he didn't write a shtar. So then, how did he acquire the land? Through the chazaka. But then the chazaka would only be applicable if the amount of money matched, right? And as whatever the amount of money matches up to. Okay, but also, obviously, it's tricky with land because you'd have to know what the... People don't always pay what the land exactly is valued at, right? And the land the value of land fluctuates. So you could see how this case would be a little tricky, halacha lamaaseh, how to exactly evaluate what he paid for. It would have to be a case where somehow we knew what the agreed upon amount was for all those plots of land. Otherwise, it would obviously become kind of tricky. Okay, Miseye Alei L'Shmuel. Now they're going to say that this braita gets support, or Shmuel would find support for what he says in this braita. Okay, like this braita would provide support for Shmuel. De Amar Shmuel, Machar lo Eser Sadot Eser Medinot, Kevan Shechzik Becha Mehem Kanat Kulam. Okay, so he says this exact halacha that the braita says, that if you sold these Eser Sadot, if you bought these Eser Sadot and Eser Medinot, you would acquire one, you would acquire them all. Okay, now we're going to have two versions of what exactly happened, this exchange, or not necessarily an exchange, but a comment of Rav Acha Breda of Ika to Shmuel. Okay, so now we've left the Braita. Remember, the Braita we brought just as proof about this issue of Kenega Ma'otav, that it's based on you acquire, when you acquire through Kenya Chazaka, you acquire based on what you paid. Now we're going to see, so now we've left the Braita, we moved on to Shmuel, who says basically the same halacha in the Braita. You have to wonder why Shmuel said the same halacha that appears explicitly in the Braita. I don't know why the Gemara doesn't ask that. And now we're going to have two versions of what Rav Acha Breda Rav Ika's response was to hearing Shmuel's halacha. Okay, so the first way we're going to read it is that he strengthens what Shmuel says, and then we're going to reject his strength, or he just rejects what Shmuel says. Okay, as a rejection with it. I'm Rav Acha Breda Rav Ika. Teda, so here's the first version of what he said. Teda she'ilu masar lo eser behemot ba'afsar echad va'amar leknei milo kane. So now he's going to say, here's a good proof for what he's saying. If someone were to pass over 10 animals with one rein, okay, one set of reins, and he said to him, kane, acquire these animals, right? Milo kane, would you not say that he acquired all 10 animals? So they're going to say likewise with the land. If he gives him, right, if he starts doing a chazaka on one, and he had already said to him, acquire all 10, and he goes and does a chazaka on one, obviously, they're all going to be his. But now they say, what are you talking about? That's not a good comparison. Amale, okay, so your proof is not a good proof. Midame, hatam igudo biyado, hacha ein igudo biyado, right? The reins are very different because the reins are connecting all the animals. So he's got the reins in his hand, the animals are all there, right? And he's somewhat attached to all the animals. Whereas the land are each separate units, and therefore, you know, they're each in separate places. It's not really a good proof. It's hard to understand how you would have thought it was a proof, and that's probably why there's a second version of what he said, and the second version, right, is going to be the opposite or somewhat different. Ika de Amre, some people say no. Amar Rav Acha Breda Rav Ika, this is what he said. Teda de lo kane. Okay, this isn't a good way of doing a kinyan, because ilu masar lo eser be'emot ba'afsar achad va'amar lo zukne mikane. So now, if you passed him 10 behemot with one reins and you said, acquire this one, of course you wouldn't acquire all 10 of them, okay? And therefore, he doesn't think that you should be able to acquire the land in this way. So now they say that's not a good rejection because they're two totally different cases. Mi dami, hatam gufim muchlakim. When it comes to the animals, they're each independent units, okay? If you say, let's say you pass over the reins of one animal, but there's 10 animals, even if they're all somewhat attached, and you say to him, acquire this one, then you're only acquiring that one, because even though they might be attached by these reins, they're all totally separate. Okay? I don't think you're going to be able to guess what the Gemara is going to say now. Haha, but when it comes to land, sadna de'arachadhu. Okay, this is like Kadur Haaretz is all, you know, the earth is all one big piece of land. Okay, it's like a perspective on the world. And therefore, the land, these 10 pieces of land that are in totally different midinot, are all really part and parcel of the same land. Okay, think about the way.
The midinot are human divisions of...
Right, exactly. You could say the Medinot are human divisions, okay, as Judy's saying, that they're, right, the man divided them up, but really, from God's perspective, it's all one unit. And therefore, you could acquire the land, even though you wouldn't be able to acquire the behemoth. Okay? Both of these readings are somewhat difficult, so you could see why there was some confusion about how to understand this. Okay, new topic. Now we're going back to the Mishnah. If you remember, what did we say? That if you were chayav a shvua in a case of metaltalin, if you remember this, then, and you also had, okay, let's go back. Moda b'mikta. What's moda b'mikta? If you say, you owe me 100, and I say, I only owe you 50. So that's moda b'mikta in a case of money or metaltalin. So I have to take a shvua and swear that I don't owe you the other 50. When it comes to land, if the same thing were to happen with land, then I'm not chayav a shvua. But if we had two disagreements at the same time, both about land and about metaltalin, I was chayav a shvua because of the metaltalin, then we can also obligate me, that's called megalgalin shvua. Okay, we saw it before, zokikin. Now we're going to see the word, it's called the gilgul shvua. Megalgalin shvua, meaning we can roll over the shvua, right? Literally, that's megalgalin. We roll it over onto the case that normally you wouldn't take a shvua about. Okay, so now we're going to go back to sota. Okay, and we're going to say we learn megalgalin shvua from sota. V'zokakim et hanechasim. So Amar Ula, minayin legilgul shvua min haTorah. How do we know that we have this concept of gilgul shvua? Midoraita, shenemar by the sota, v'amra ha'isha amen amen. Remember there's that double amen amen. So the question is going to be, why is it double? Utnan, and the Mishnah says there, amahi omerit amen amen, amen al ha'ala, amen al ha'shvua. Right, there were two things he says, right? One is this curse that if you did this, then you're going to have your stomach explode and all, and your, you know, your yerach and the, right, the thigh and the stomach's going to explode. And the second thing is you're going to swear that she didn't do it, right? He says, he makes her swear that she didn't do it. So now we're going to say she says amen, amen, one amen on the Allah and one amen on the shvua. And Allah is another word for shvua, basically. Amen im me'ish zeh, amen im me'ish acher. Okay, what's she swearing? She's swearing that I didn't sleep with this man that my husband suspected me of, and not only that, but I didn't sleep with some other man that I wasn't suspected of sleeping with. Amen shelo satiti arusa, unisua, v'shomer yabam uknusa. Okay, this is going to be the part that's relevant for us. I swear that I wasn't a sota, right? I didn't go sleep with some other man while I was engaged, while I was married, while I was a shomer at Yabam, right? Supposed to marry my Yabam, right? After my husband died without any kids, and I was in that in-between stage before I actually married the brother, which is kind of like engagement almost. And knusa, and when I swear I didn't do it when I was actually married to the brother, right? After he did the mitzvah of Yibum with me. So now they want to deal with this word arusa. Hai arusa hechidami. Ilema dikane la kashihi arusa. If we want to say that he was jealous of her, right? Because remember, there's stages of the sota. What happens? First she goes, he suspects her of being with another man. So he warns her, right? That's the kinoi. He warns her and he says, I think you're being with this other man. Warns her in front of Edim. Then what happens? Then he proves that with two Edim, she went into a room alone. That's called the stira. Okay, she went into a, like, seter from secret. She went into a room alone with a man, okay? And then, after that happens, and there's Edim, then he brings her to the Beit HaMikdash to drink the sota waters. So now, what's the issue here? With the arusa, hechidami, ilema dekani lekshi arusa, if you want to say that he was jealous of her when they were engaged, vikamashke lekshi arusa, and then she did the stira, and then he made her drink the waters when she was arusa, vahatnan, arusa v'shomer yabam, lo shotot, v'lo notz lo ketuba. Right? They don't drink the waters, but they also don't get their ketuba money. In other words, they're this in-between where they can't ever prove their innocence, so therefore they can't get their ketuba money, but they can't drink the water, right? So they can't drink the water to prove their innocence. My time, and what happens? Therefore, they have to get a divorce. He has to give her a get, because he can't sleep with her, because he already suspected her, and therefore it's usher for him to be with her. And the Shomer Yabam also would have to do Chalitza. So now what's the reason why an Arusa and a Shomer Yabam can't be drink the sota waters? My taima, tachat ishech, amar Rahmana, right? The Pasuk says, ki satit tachat ishech. Ishut is a word of marriage, after you were already together in marriage. Bileka, and there is no ishut here. So therefore, that can't be the case of Arusa, right? Because there wouldn't be such a thing, right? So she can't say, I swear I didn't do anything when I was in Arusa, in a case where he suspected her when and made her drink the waters when she was in Arusa. Ella, what about this one? Tekane la kashi arusa, vinistira kashi arusa, vikamashke la kashi inisua. Okay, let's say you say it's the case where she did it, right? She went alone with a man, or he threatened her, you know, he suspected her when she was arusa. Then she went in a room alone with a man when she was not arusa. But when he has to drink the sota waters, that's when she's in isua. That doesn't work either. Why? Mibat kelamaya. The water wouldn't work in this case. Why? If you remember, we learned this halacha. Vinikaha ish me'avon amar rahmana. What did we learn? Vinikaha ish me'avon. Bizman shaha ish minuke me'avon. Mayim bodkim et ishto. Ein ish menuke me'avon, ein hamayim bodkim et ishto. What's the story here? Only if he did everything according to the books. What did this guy do wrong? If he suspected her when they were engaged, and she went alone in the room with the man when she was engaged, he's obviously not allowed to sleep with her, so how did he marry her? And his marriage is consummation of marriage through having relations. So how could he have married her? So it can't possibly be that they be nisuin, and then he brings her to the sota waters. Now, there's a few problems with this. You could say maybe he never slept with her. Maybe he married her and didn't sleep with her. But the Mefarshim say, well, that's not issued again. And it wouldn't be a case where he'd be allowed to have her drink the sota waters. Some people say maybe he only, there's another question could be, maybe he only, you could have a case like this, because again, we're just trying to figure out what could a possible case be. You could have a case where he only found out that she went alone with the man in a room after they were already married. But again, you might say if he already had suspicions, then he should have checked everything out before he actually slept with her. So maybe he's also not totally naki me'avon. So therefore, what do they say? Ela al yidei gulgul. What does that mean? It's not that he suspected her when she was a arusa. What's the story? She went alone with the man in the room, you know, and you could say everything happened when she was nesua. Okay, once they were married. But once he's already got his suspicions about her, and she's taking a shavua anyway, so then she has to say, and not only that, did I not do what you suspected me of doing, but I didn't even do anything when I was arusa. And that's a gulgul shavua. We're making her take a shavua on something that she wasn't, normally you wouldn't take a shavua for, right? She wouldn't take a shavua if she was arusa, because he wouldn't be making her drink the waters if she was arusa. So therefore, what we're doing is, she really, everything happened when she was nesua, but she's saying, not only did I not do anything now, but I didn't even sleep with anyone once I was engaged to you. Okay, I've been very careful since then, you know, since that moment. So there you see gulgul shavua. But now what do they say? Sota di isura, mamona minalan. That's all very nice about a sota, but sota is isurin. And we want to learn gulgul shavua by mamon. Now there's two ways to read this. Some people say that isur and mamon are just two totally different categories and you can't learn one from the other. It's like mixing apples and oranges. Some people say, no, isura is more severe. So therefore, you could see that you might do a gulgul shavua in an isur case where you might not necessarily do it in dinei mamon case. So some view them as two equals that are just different, and some view them as different levels of severity. Okay, so now where do we learn mamon from? We'll finish with up with this kal v'chomer. Tana debei Rabbi Yishmael, kal v'chomer. He says it's a kal v'chomer. Uma sota shelo nitna lihi taba be'ed echad megalgalim. In a case of sota, what do we know? It's not so easy to bring her to court, right? You can only do it if there were actually two witnesses that saw. And yet, even though it's not so easy to bring her to court, once we bring her to court, we're going to be megalgal the shvua. So therefore, mamon shenitan li taba be'ed echad. Okay, for example, another case, by the way, that you would, if there's eid echad in a case, that's mechayev you in a dine mamono case. So eid echad can't force you to pay, but eid echad can force you to give a shvua. Okay, you need to then swear. Like if eid echad says you stole someone's stuff, so we can make you take a shvua. There's a certain case where eid echad, we allow eid echad in a mamon case. So now what are we going to say? Since nitan li taba be'ed echad, ein odin shemegalgalim. Okay? So therefore, we're going to say, kal v'chomer, if it's easier to bring you to court to take a shavua for a dini mamono case, then it should be easier for us to be mechayev you another shavua, right? A gilgul shavua. We're going to chayev you to swear on two different things. It's going to be easier than in a sota case where you actually need two witnesses. So therefore, we're going to say, we can learn from a kal v'chomer.